of Exodus. I'm going to read several separate verses from which we simply want to take our thought. We're not going to dwell on any of these verses, but just to establish our thought. In Exodus chapter 24, verse 12, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount, and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments, and notice, which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. "And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, notice, written with the finger of God." Exodus 32, verse 16. "And Moses turned and went down from the mount. The two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On one side and on the other side were they written." Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 20 and 21. "Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them and send unto thee?" And then last, in Hosea chapter 8, verse 12. Hosea chapter 8, verse 12. God speaking, "I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing." Each of these verses declare the same thing. God has written something. God has written a book. God has written a book. That's our subject. We hold in our hands today the book that God has written. As we look at that book, we need to hear the words of our text verses, God speaking. "I have written. I have written." Written with the finger of God. The writing of God. God has written a book. You know, I used to think, a long time ago, that you had to be smart to write a book, but then I've read books and I realize that's not the case at all. But God is omniscient. And God has written a book. We need to give serious thought what we have in our possession right now. A book written by God. We ought to love it. We ought to be drawn to it. We ought to read it constantly. Now, people read books for a lot of reasons. We want to mention some of those, and those very same reasons are reasons that we ought to love this book and read it. People read books today, some because simply because of the title. It's a title that interests them. Now, my Bible, the title is right there. Holy Bible. Most Bibles, it's also right here. Holy Bible. That's the title of the book that God has written. We read in Romans 1 and verse 2, the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures, which is the same title that's on this book, Holy Bible. Scriptures simply mean writing. Holy writing. The word Bible means the same thing. Writing. Holy writings. Think of the word holy. It has basically three meanings. It has reference to the greatness of the writing. That is seen in the root word of holy, meaning to set apart. It conveys the idea that this writing, this book, is set apart from all others. It is set apart from that which is common. This is not an ordinary book. It's holy. Set apart. It means that it's in a class all by itself. It is above and beyond all other writings. It is unequaled. It's superior to all other books. The word holy also has reference to purity. The words of the Lord are pure words. We read in the Psalms. In Psalm 119, 140, thy word is very pure. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. What that means is that every word of God, every word in this book is undefiled. It's without blemish. It's impeccable. This is holy writing. Impeccable writing. It also refers to perfection. It's infallible. Infallible writing. Again, God has written a book. The title of the book is Holy Bible. When I use the word Bible, I am not referring to the American Standard Version. I am not referring to the contemporary English version. I am not referring to the English Standard Version. I am not referring to the New American Standard Bible. I am not referring to the New Century Bible. I am not referring to the New International Version, the New International Reader's Version. Nor am I referring to the New King James Version. Nor am I referring to the New Living Translation. Nor am I referring to the Revised American Version or Revised Standard Version. These are all perversions as a result of satanic attack. No book ever written has ever been attacked more than the book God has written. But what I am referring to is the King James Version,
which I believe is God's preserved word for today. Now you'd have to not be too smart to think that God wrote a book, God inspired that book, and then God wasn't powerful enough to preserve that book. God has preserved His Word. And I believe we have it today. Do you believe that the King James Version of the Bible is the Word of God? I most certainly do. It is God's preserved Word. The Holy Bible. It has other titles as well. Isaiah 5, verse 24, it's referred to as the Word of the Holy One. The Word of the Holy One. In Isaiah 40 and verse 8, it is referred to as the Word of our God. Jeremiah verse 20, the Word of His mouth. Romans 3 verse 2, the oracles or utterances of God. Colossians 3 verse 16, the Word of Christ. And in Daniel chapter 10 verse 21, it is called the Scripture of Truth. The very title of the book ought to draw our attention, ought to cause us to want to read it. The Holy Bible. People also read books today because of the author. They read books because of the title. They may find a author that they like that particular style of writing, so they buy a book simply because it was written by a certain author. God has written a book. God is the author of this book. He is the author. We ought to read it. We ought to love it. We ought to be drawn to it because of the author. God is the author. So it is the writing of the Creator of the universe. You know, you buy a book and sometimes in the front part of the book it will tell you all about the author, how he's qualified to write on the subject he's writing on. The Creator of the universe has written a book. The one who put the stars in the sky has written a book. He is the author. The one who named every single star. He is the author. It is the writing of omnipotent, almighty God. The writer of omniscient and all-wise God. The author of this book knows everything about everything. He's the author. He's the one who cannot be mistaken. He's the one who cannot lie. That's the author of this book. This isn't the erring opinions of man. This isn't the philosophies and the reasonings and the ideas of short-lived mortals. This is the writing of eternal living God. He's the author. Again, it's the Word of God. The expression of God. That ought to get our attention. What is written here is the very expression of God. The manifestation of the mind of God. The unveiling of God. It is God communicating His thoughts to mankind. God is the author. So we hold today a book authored by God. We're told how He authored it. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Peter 1, verse 21, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Here's how God authored this book. He used human instrumentality. He didn't have to, but that's what He did. And He put His thoughts into their minds. And then He guided their pens in writing down those thoughts. In other words, it is a dictation from God. The book was dictated to men like Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, on and on we could go. But it is a book that God has authored. That ought to get our attention. If it doesn't, that speaks volumes of what you think about God. Believe it or not, or whether you want to admit it or not, your attitude toward this book is your same attitude toward God. Thirdly, people read books because of the nature of the book, the way the book is written. God has written a book. Let me tell you something about the nature of this book. It's eternal. It's immutable. It is declared in Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. God has written a book, and it's settled. It's fixed. It's sure. It's immovable. It's certain. Throughout history, kings and emperors and various governments and various institutions, various nations and various societies and various cultures have unleashed their hatred toward this book. And they have been persistent and they have been relentless in their attempts to destroy it. But we still have it. We're still able to hold it in our hands. It's just as Jesus declared in John 10, verse 35, the Scripture cannot be broken. It cannot be broken. Every possible effort has and continues to be made to undermine the inspiration and the authority of the book that God has written. But it continues on and will continue on. We read in Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. 1 Peter 1, verse 25, the word of the Lord endureth forever. God wrote a book. And in spite of all the years of time that has gone by, in spite of all of man's attempts to alter the book, it remains the same. All the burnings, all the inquisitions, God's book has survived. And the message remains the same. Worldliness, infidelity, superstition, immorality, academia have been trying to extinguish it for centuries. It still stands. It still stands. In a world of unbelief, in a world of rejection, in a world of change, the message remains the same. We read in 2 Kings 8, verse 56, there hath not failed one word of all his good pleasure. Paul, in prison for preaching this book, wrote in 2 Timothy 2, in verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. It's not bound. God's written a book. Talking about the nature of this book. It's true. It's a book of truth. In a world drowning in error and falsehood, the book that God has written still stands today as a pillar of unshakable truth. The psalmist declared in Psalm 119 and verse 160, "Thy word is true from the beginning." And Jesus declared in John 17 and verse 17, "Thy word is truth." The book that God has written is correct. It is accurate. It is definite. It is firm. It is unwavering, guaranteed, unfailing. Absolutely reliable. God has written a book, and it does not need accreditation. Does not need human accreditation. It is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. Institutions of learning do not determine truth. Politicians do not determine truth. They wouldn't know the truth if it hit them upside the head. So-called experts do not determine truth. Hollywood and entertainment industry does not determine truth. Preachers do not determine truth. Religious organizations do not determine truth. Society does not determine truth. Culture does not determine truth. God has already determined truth. And God has written a book. And it's all true. That ought to get our attention. People will read books and say, "Well, I'm just trying to learn the truth." You want to learn the truth? Read this book. Read this book. If you're really, truly interested in truth, read the Word of God. God has written a book still talking about its nature. It's powerful. It's powerful. People talk about reading a book and they'll say, "Oh, it's just such a moving book." This book will move you one way or the other. It is the authority, the power, and the influence of God. And that explains why it is so hated. Because man doesn't want any part of the authority or the power or the influence of God. This book has universal power. It has awe-inspiring power. It has breaking power. It'll break you. It has moving power. It has dividing power. Shaking power. Enlivening power. Revealing power. It is a powerful book. God has written a book. And it is the most remarkable, magnificent and wonderful of all books. That should cause us to love it because of its nature. Fourthly, people read books because they like the purpose of the book. Every book has a purpose. God has written a book. He didn't write it by accident. He wrote it on purpose. And He wrote it with a purpose. The purpose of the Word of God is to reveal God. The purpose of the Word of God is to give and to sustain life. The purpose of the Word of God is to promote spiritual growth and maturity. If you're truly interested in spiritual growth and maturity, you don't have to go down to your nearest Christian bookstore. Read this book. Read this book. It's designed by God to promote spiritual growth and maturity. Its purpose is to strengthen faith, to convert, to turn. Its purpose is to give light and guidance through the maze of life, to make wise. Its purpose is to train in God's ways, to cleanse us. It's also designed to protect us. This book will protect you from many things. It's designed to produce hope. It will admonish you like no other writing. And it will expose and convict of sin. So you see, it is a book that makes many very uncomfortable. It is a book that also will restrain from sinful, cause you to restrain from sinful tendencies. It is a book designed to give comfort. It is a book that is designed to rejoice the heart, to be of spiritual benefit to God's people. The very purpose of the book, the very design of the book, ought to cause us to love it. Ought to cause us to be drawn to it and want to read it. Fifthly, people buy books for, read books for their subject matter. God has written a book of inexhaustible wealth. A book of stored treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Is an overflowing fountain that cannot be drawn dry. A treasure that cannot be emptied. It is a book that reveals God. You want to know who God is? Read this book. You don't need my opinion. You don't need anyone else's opinion. Just read this book. It reveals God. It reveals God's will. If we're interested in knowing God's will, read the book. It reveals God's plan. Society is a mess today, but we know where it's going because we read the book. Reveals God's counsel. It is a book that reveals what is pleasing to God. And the other side of that coin, of course, is what is displeasing to God. It is a book that shows us the way to God. The way of salvation. It is a book that reveals the glories of Jesus Christ. God wrote a book, and He tells of the miracles of Christ. Tells of His ministry, His sayings, His actions, His life, His death, His power, His love, His kindness. It is also a book of promises. It's also a book of prophecies. It is a book that not only reveals God, but it is a book that reveals the character and the methods of Satan. It is a book that reveals the character and the methods of the world. Also making people very uncomfortable, it is a book that reveals who we are. Tells all about us. It is a book that tells of many who were of like passions as ourselves. Men and women who had cares and crosses and families and temptations and afflictions and limitations. And yet they serve God faithfully. It's a book that gives historical accounts for our learning. History is a great teacher, one of the greatest teachers. And the Bible is the greatest history book ever written. And all what we can learn from the historical accounts. Because man doesn't change. Is a book sufficient to regulate every aspect of our life? It is a book that instructs us how to live, how to deal with ourselves, how to bear present trials and burdens. Is a book that tells us how to worship, how to pray, how to deal with those who are not saved, how to deal with the ungodly and the wicked, and how to deal with God's people. It is a book that instructs us how to serve God in the workplace, how to serve God in the home, how to be the right kind of husband, wife, or child. How to serve God in the church. How to be the right kind of church member. All the subject matter of the book that God has written. It is a book that instructs concerning the divine order of the sexes. What is the divine order of the sexes? Male and female. Created He them. God has written a book. It is a book that instructs concerning the roles of male and female. And they are not the same. Male and female are not the same, and their roles are not the same. God has written a book. You see, today man has disregarded that book, and now they don't even know what bathroom to go into. God has written a book that very clearly defines marriage between a man and a woman and reveals, God's written this book and it reveals how we can maintain sanity in society. How we can maintain sanity in government and the judicial and the educational system, which all have gone insane, by the way, because they've disregarded the book that God has written. There is no book that contains the amount of subject matter as this book. God has written a book, and it is pertinent to every individual sitting here today. It is pertinent to every nation. It is pertinent to every government. It is pertinent to every society, culture, and religion. Oh, what a book that God has written. Again, I long for the day when a politician brings this book to a debate. Long for that day. They would not allow the debate to go on. That's where we are today. God has written a book, and it was this book that the founders of this nation held to and turned to. As a nation, we were built upon the values of the book that God has written. Biblical values ingrained our political and social fabric. That is no longer the case. No other country in the history of the world has had this book like the United States of America. But now, we are a nation that has replaced the book that God has written with the godless religion of secular humanism, which has dulled man's sense of values. And as Brother Mark said this morning, man has no moral compass. Oh, how true. Has left us with a society filled with perversion, corruption, confusion, upheaval, disorder, drowning in dysfunction, and have degenerated into a godless society. Bombarded with the pervasive lies and the control and the manipulation of secularism, of atheism. And I am convinced that the majority of our population have had their brains saturated with the teachings of secularism and atheism, had their brains saturated by those who are offended by God and hostile toward God. American culture has progressively denied the God of this book. And God and His ways have been systematically pushed out of the national consciousness. And we have again degenerated into a godless society. Here we are entering an election, the scariest election of my lifetime. But I believe it speaks volumes of where we are as a nation. If we continue on, I don't believe the candidates will get any better. I really don't. I think we might as well get used to it. It's what America deserves. Two candidates, they argue which one is qualified, neither one of them are. It's pitiful. It's really shameful. But I'm getting off. I don't want to do that. Well, I do, but we don't have time. What we so desperately need today is what we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 14 through 21. An event that happened during the reign of King Josiah. King Josiah began to reign when he was 8 years old. You know what? An 8-year-old sounds pretty good today. I believe he might have more sense. But Josiah began to reign when he was 8 years old, during one of the darkest times in Judah's history. It was a time when truth had been put away, true worship of God had ceased, false religion and error filled the land. The land was full of idols. It was a time of rampant disregard for the things of God. Time of great ignorance. Time when immorality and selfishness were rampant. When Josiah was 16, it says that he began to seek after God. All for some leaders that would begin to seek after God. When he was 20, he began to purge the land. And oh, how this land needs to be purged. When he was 26, it's 18 years after he began to reign, he began to repair the house of the Lord. And it was while refurbishing the house of the Lord that Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord. God had preserved it. And Hilkiah found it. He found the book written by God. And he brought it to the king. And we read in verse 18 that Shaphan read it before the king. He read it before the king. We read in verse 19, when the king heard the words of the law, he rent his clothes. It's the power of that book. And oh, how we need an event like this today. Here we are mired, saturated with and in the stranglehold of humanism, surrounded with wickedness, ungodliness, abomination, blasphemy, and heresy. We live in a time when people have been convinced and they're being trained from a very young age that they are to look to hell's crowd for confirmation and validation for what they are to believe. People say, well, Brother Dan, you know so-and-so doesn't believe that. That doesn't really matter to me. That's not my validation. Not our validation at all. What's in the book? Well, you know, public opinion doesn't change what's in the book. God has written a book. And that's all I need for confirmation and validation. God has written a book, and He's preserved it. And we have it today. And if heeded, it will bring sanity to even the United States of America. If heeded. And that's our only hope. That's the only hope for this nation. The only hope of bringing back sanity is to read the book. Read the book. Someone asked me one time, "Well, you believe that everyone in our founding fathers was saved?" No, I don't believe that at all. Don't believe that at all. But I do believe that even a lost person can be directed by the principles of the book. Some of them were saved. Some of them weren't. But they were directed by the principles of the book. That's what we need today. God can do that. Thank God that God has written a book. Now, I'm almost tempted to go into a secular bookstore and ask, "Do you have any books written by God here?" Just to see what their response would be. I might do that. Just to see. "Well, sir, we don't." They wouldn't know what to say, most of them. But there is a book written by God. We ought to thank God every day for such a book. We ought to read it. We ought to love it. We ought to hold to it. Don't deviate from the book. And pray for our nation every single day that somebody would find the book and read it and be moved, be stirred. And some have, but all for more, to find the book. Thank God every day that God has written a book. You know, I have many books, but the only book I really need is right here. That's the truth. That's the truth of the matter. It used to be, and I'm not, please don't take this wrong, I'm not criticizing. When I first started out preaching, all the preachers would say, "Oh, buy as many books as you can. Just buy, 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 buy. Just buy books, buy books, buy books." I tell preachers just the opposite today. Stay away from the books. Get in this book. And when you get good and grounded in this book, if you feel led to go buy a book, go ahead. But you need to first get grounded in this book. And that's true of all of us. That's true of all of us. No matter how smart someone is who's written a book, no matter what kind of expert they are, they don't begin to touch God. And He's written a book. Little Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.
Four, 104.